here, which was, I believe, at least a year before, or a year and a half, I'm not sure, but I have continued to find opportunities to present an interesting aspect of the goings-on at Area 51 to a lot of groups and communities and a lot of different kinds of media. But ranging from, you know, other countries and like Australia and Europe and the rest of the world and the U.S. and so on. And I've received so many correspondence, so much correspondences from all over. But in the final analysis, it's my conviction, and this is one of the main reasons why I'm here today, is that I think and I feel strongly in my heart that this community right here is definitely going to play a key role in the upcoming events, and this is why I believe that it's so important for me to be here. Not that I can contribute any major things here, but I at least want to establish the ongoing relationship, and this is just the beginning for me. And the reason I'm here is because of the significance of this. This is not, I don't think this is just a group. I don't think, consider this is a group. This is more like a community of people that are, have spiritual discernment, which is very, very needed right now as we enter a new phase, a very, very critical phase in the time period of history, and I can sense it. And again, it's my pleasure, and I haven't really expressed my appreciation before in earnest to Doris and EJ, Dr. Young, and you know, Rick and Brent, Penny, and all the personnel here. And once again, I would like to take this opportunity to express my deepest appreciation, and this is the reason why I'm here. And today I came here because of this, but also at the end, before I leave, I would like to offer maybe 10 minutes of my, I believe that God gave me an inspiration for a certain type of meditative, inspirational music, and I would like to share about 10 minutes just before I leave. But other than that, I believe that there is definitely an important message from above this afternoon concerning the goings-on at a location known as Area 51, which I have been concentrating on for the past, you know, 7-8 years. It has come up to such a place right now, the notoriety of Area 51 is such that it's now, within the past 3 or 4 months, the name Area 51 has become a household term, particularly because of the movies like Independence Day and so on and so on. We're seeing the desensitization or sensitization or conditioning process, I don't know what to call, but something is taking place, and we are going to see some kind of a fake scenario being played to deceive us. And what I would like to say also is that more and more television documentaries and Hollywood movies are coming up to condition us. And I believe that a depiction of the so-called alien entities as frightful, terrible, entities that are here to condition us to accept a forced global unity known as the New World Order is going to, I think it's going to effectuate. And that's why, as there are many, many signs right now indicating that possibly we're looking into even 4 or 5 months from now where things may start really happening. And, you know, I see this message all over. And but again, even though I receive a lot of correspondence from all over the world and from many groups and so on, the group that is, or a community that is spiritually discerned, like this community, I think is going to play the key role and in maintenance of integrity and survivability in this critical time. I think this is definitely, I feel strongly about that. The number two is going back to Area 51. I have not gone over there recently because there is so much one can do. There's a limit to, you can't actually, you can go there 100 times and I don't see any point in going towards those areas because we know what they are doing over there. It's more important to bring out the truth to the various communities all over on the implications of dark black projects going on over there, such as, for example, the testing of new type of non-lethal weapon systems, which is just a euphemism for deadly mind-controlling weapon systems that are being tested in conjunction with a new type of surveillance craft that are so astounding that that could bring us one step closer to a totally controlled society by the amazing development in surveillance technology. All of these are going to bring us, and it's already bringing us into a totally controlled society, which in which there's no there's just a lack of privacy now. We're living in a society where there's no privacy. So all of this is accelerating, and there are many programs at Area 51, such as programs, a new series of stealth technology. Everybody thinks that stealth technology ended with the F-117, but that's just the beginning. There's a new generation of stealth technology, so it didn't end. There are programs going on at Area 51, which encompasses a great amount of territory. It's not just Groom Lake. Groom Lake complex is just one aspect of Area 51. There's the whole location known as Dreamland. It will play a major role in upcoming events. In fact, Area 51, definitely to me, is going to play a major role in the upcoming series of events, because that's where the high technology, military technology, and aeronautics, avionics are all concentrated, and that's the highest technology, the military, so it has to be concentrated over there. And in conjunction with the Black Project programs at Area 51, we believe that there is a link between the programs going on in Alaska, such as the HAARP program. There's going to be an interlink between the weapons program, testing programs at Area 51 and in conjunction with the HAARP programs in Alaska. And it's my understanding that the power output will be increased as far as HAARP system is concerned. In fact, this March there allegedly was an increase in the power output of HAARP program, and they're going to increase this program, the output, and there's going to be a power surge of HAARP program in 1998. But it could even be this fall or next around January. Anyway, 1997, next year, could also be the beginning. So you know, all of these things are playing a significant role. In fact, the worldwide weather aberrations in many locations, it could definitely be part of the the effects of experiments in HAARP system. But what the HAARP system is, is multifold. There is a program, the military scientific covert program, to convert part of the ionosphere and heating up part of the ionosphere to effectuate more or less like a lens-like effect or some kind of a shield where bombardments of electromagnetic waves can be made to determine the locations of enemy underground bunkers and so on. But this is just only one tip of the iceberg of the multifold programs of HAARP project. For example, the other projects of HAARP is to create a partial screen in the atmosphere, screen-like effects, so that they can project holographic images. And also, not only holographic images, but possibly various types of frequencies, magnetic, the bombardments of the frequencies, and to possibly to condition or affect the thinking processes of the population worldwide. So all of this, under the pretense of military programs, could be part of a secret, a dark project that could affect all of us. Because the programs going on at Area 51 definitely may have a legal basis for a national defense. There's no question about it. We need national defense, but what we're talking about is the 70 to 80% of the real truth, the real programs, which are not necessary for a national defense. These 70 to 80% of the programs could be programs that could that doesn't have anything to do with national defense. In fact, it could be mechanisms to bring us into a controlled New World Order. And that's the main point. So whenever I speak all over, I get questions saying that, don't you think that these programs are necessary for our national defense? No question about it, but I'm talking about 70 to 80% of the programs which doesn't have any, you know, accountability insofar as our U.S. citizens' right to know what's being spent and so on. So, I am personally coming into a crossroads in my life in which I have to make a decision, and I believe that I have been working in a regular secular job for the past 16 or 17 years in a particular location in downtown Los Angeles. But I feel strongly that I'm coming to a crossroads where I'm going to have to spend more time in this important, what I call vocation. It's like a ministry. In fact, it's like a ministry because we need to get the message out to people. And I believe that time is coming where I'm going to completely spend 100% of my time, because as I said, I feel that we're talking about maybe a few months to things, and I noticed, and this is the reason why I began to sense the importance of this community. Just as I was thinking, it proved to me that my thoughts were correct in that I felt in the past couple of months that the only two publications in the world where 95% or more of the most important information in the world are coming from two publications, and I believe Contact and Spotlight. In fact, it's my belief that having these two publications will give at least 95% of the most important information available. And these two publications I cherish because I think it's playing a major role in bringing the awakened populace to the you know to recognition that the planned thing is coming, and this is my appreciation, words of appreciation for spiritually you know united community of high discernment like this group. And I'm not just saying this because, as I said, this is it's going to be my major work. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not a speaker, or I'm not researcher per se. I'm not a speaker per se. I am just an individual just like you. I just collect information, analyze it, and I believe that it's the duty of each of us to bring the information out to the public. And so that's my role. And I believe that there are information concerning Area 51 that is vital, that is more amazing than what I've been saying. I have made a video called Secrets of Dreamland, first video that tried to expose, but then I have also made another one called Secrets of Dreamland, a revised version, which is a 2.5 hour version with more information, particularly concentrating on the non-lethal weapon systems. In fact, I had an opportunity to track down Colonel John Alexander in Las Vegas, around March, I think, this year of March. I tracked down this individual by the name of Colonel John Alexander, who is unquestionably the main personality behind the non-lethal weapon systems development program in Los Alamos. And now he moved from Los Alamos to Las Vegas. And Las Vegas is definitely becoming a very important area because, as I said, it's the back door of the nation's top, highly advanced, technologically leading-edge center of technology, military technology, concentrated over there. And, you know, it's not surprising why Colonel John Alexander was there. And, in fact, I interviewed him, and he said he was surprised that I tracked him down, because nobody contacted him before or nobody interviewed him before. And I took a group of people from Japan, science writers, and interviewed him. And he was reluctant to be interviewed. And however, I kept insisting that I want to see him. And finally, he agreed, saying that he would talk about anything, but let's not bring up any topic on UFOs. So, now, this is the thing. In his office, we were taken to his big library. And in the library were all kinds of books on thanatology, the study of death, and occult phenomenon, and all kinds of occultic books in his library. Anyway, all five of us gathered around the table, long table, and John Alexander said, well, just shoot some questions on non-lethal weapons. And so we asked a lot of questions about non-lethal weapons technology, and you know, his answers were very, very conservative, and he indicated to us that, no, we don't have that high science fiction type of non-lethal technology yet, which I believe was wrong, because he had to portray the government line of information to the public if asked about non-lethal weapons technology. In fact, we believe that the state of art in non-lethal weapons technology is such that an average person will be shocked at the level of technology. We're not just talking about sticky form. Now, the sticky form is a low technology considered to be part of non-lethal technology, and John Alexander said that we have a sticky form mechanism where they can actually drop this net-like thing from the helicopter, you know, about 100 feet down to a tank, and envelop the tank with this net-like substance, and remove the tank, you know, and so on. But also, he was talking also about the shrink wrap type of thing, where they can shrink wrap a Jeep, and you know, all this thing. But these are really not high technology non-lethal weapons. These are low tech non-lethal technology. He didn't want to confront the other issues which we were interested in. For example, mind altering technologies. We, no question in my mind that we have systems of low frequency emission devices that can alter the behavioral patterns of enemy soldiers even from a mile distance. And but Colonel Alexander didn't want to talk about it because he says all those things are just imagination, which we weren't convinced about it. And anyway, he unwillingly granted us this 25-minute interview, and when we were just about to go out, you know, he became somehow cordial, and anyway, we tried to ask him one last question. Colonel Alexander, you know, you told us not to ask questions on UFOs, but there's only one question that we'd like to ask on UFO. And at that time, he got so upset, and he said, I thought you guys promised not to ask any questions on UFOs. I'm not going to answer any question on UFOs. As if he was not interested in UFOs. Okay. However, right before we left the building, he showed us to his own office, where he allowed us to take picture of him, and on his wall in his office were pictures of him with a couple of presidents. I don't know which one was. I think it could have been Bush, but other top people. And anyway, he took us picture. He had a camera, and he took a picture of us also. And then we took a picture of him. Okay. Anyway, so we were just about to get out of this office. I noticed that there was a computer in his room, and the computer. I noticed that on the computer screen, it said the list of British UFO organizations. That was on the computer. I saw it with my own eyes. And yet, Colonel Alexander was said that he was not interested in UFOs. And that's where I said to myself that he could be part of that thing. You see, and anyway, we all left that office, and that was it. And I have in my possession picture of Colonel Alexander and myself and Mr. Namiki. In fact, Mr. Namiki was here with me when we were here. But anyway, he is very appreciative of the community right here. Mr. Namiki, in fact, he still probably receives the magazine. Yes, and he's very, very, he thinks very highly of this community right here. So that is my assessment of the part of the cover-ups that are going on. And so, you know, if he is covering up something, imagine what the government is covering up on Area 51. There's certain information that we can get out of Area 51 or we can deduce, but there are other information that only other than us can get, and I believe that there are information here on Area 51 that we can't get on public by public method, and that's why I think that maybe we can hear maybe the real programs that's going on over there. You know, I've been in this for at least since 1988. In fact, 1988, hardly anybody knew about Area 51. And the reason why I heard about Area 51 in 1988 is because of two things. In 1988, there was a two-hour television program called UFO Cover-Up Live. And that was in 1988, October. And in that two-hour program, I think that two-hour program was possibly an educative program by the government on our conditioning process. And in October of 1988, the same month, there was an interesting advertisement in Aviation Week and Space Technology magazine. And on page 51 of that magazine, there was a picture of the so-called alien entity. And on the other side of that picture was an advertisement by Amoco products about something like, we have just developed a new type of composite materials and other revolutionary technology that will further bring the aeronautics and avionics industry into one giant step towards development. That was the advertisement. And on next page was the, on the other side of the page was the picture of an alien entity. And that was on page 51. Area 51, is there symbolism? And so there's so many symbolisms that are willingly or by design or what, coincidence, we don't know, but things are happening. One interesting thing right now is this. Because of movies like The Arrival and Independence Day, you know, there's a lot of hype on Area 51 and so on. But again, looking at symbolism, for example, President Clinton himself mentioned just about 2 months ago, commenting on the recent NASA's announcement about the possibility of life in Mars. You know, President Clinton commented himself 2 months ago, saying that next year, that NASA is going to launch this, this is December, is going to launch a probe to Mars, and it's called the Pathfinder, you know, program. It's a Pathfinder is a small mechanism where they can collect rock samples and soil samples from the surface. So President Clinton just said 2 months ago that this Pathfinder program is going to land on Mars next year exactly on Independence Day. That was his word. And Independence Day of next year so happens to be just around the time of the 50th anniversary of the so-called Roswell incident. So everything seems to be pointing out to something. And, you know, whether Roswell thing was a factual incident or not, we don't know. But as far as significance, I think it is significant, significant in so many ways. you know, I just received a declassified military information, just declassified, and it said that the U.S. Army was already experimenting on a prototype wing-shaped craft in 1946, and I have that document right here, not with me right now, but it's in there in my truck, but it showed a sketch of this semi-roundish object, you know, just a sketch. And that was in 1946. Now, the thing is this, that this will bring further the possibility that already our scientists were working on things like that, even after World War II, right after World War II. And this brings to an interesting point. You know, there are two phases of the space program. The space program, like NASA, is just a facade. For example, a lot of the scientists which came from Germany after World War II, along with the SS officers, who played a major role in the initial establishment of the CIA in